In this story, there is no music, and you will only hear my voice. You won't hear what I heard, the shouts of zealous rebels, their poetry, or them singing along to revolutionary music in their four-wheel drives. It is a story about what happened to us in Yemen when we broke the rules trying to report on something that the government really, really doesn't want people to know about. Last month, freelance photographer Adam Reynolds and I traveled to Yafa. The region in southern Yemen is known for Rocky Mountain vistas and political unrest. I had been reporting in Yemen for almost a year when we made the trip, both wearing black veils, both disguised as Yemeni women. Locals call the area El Janoub El Har, the Free South, because the Yemeni government cannot go there. Southern flags, illegal in Yemen, are painted on mountainsides and on concrete walls. The region is mostly ruled by sheikhs and a network of outlawed separatist leaders who head what has become known as the Southern Movement. Northern and southern Yemen united peacefully in 1990. Separatist leaders say they all supported the unity at first, but only 4 years later, the South rebelled, claiming the North was draining their resources while denying Southerners political rights and government services. The rebellion was crushed swiftly in a bloody civil war. Since then, separatists have slowly regrouped and sporadic violence breaks out more and more often. In the past few months, about 100 people have been arrested and at least 7 others have been killed in connection with separatist activities, including activists and soldiers. Last week there were reports that some separatists tried to kill one of Yemen's deputy prime ministers and attacked a convoy carrying high-level defense officials, killing one of his guards. The Southern Movement is now arguably the single largest threat to Yemen's fragile central government. Rebel strongholds, which include large swaths of the south, are virtually untouched by the government. Wanted leaders roam freely. From time to time, internet or cell phone service is cut off, isolating the region. There has been a crackdown on the news flow from the south. Al Jazeera's equipment was recently confiscated after reporting in the south. A government official told one of my fellow journalists, "Reporters who write about the Southern Movement are not welcome in Yemen." Journalists are not technically banned from the south, but official travel permits are never granted on the grounds of security purposes. Not long after we returned from rebel-controlled lands and checked into a hotel in the government-controlled port city Aden, our passports were confiscated. The next morning, we went into the visa office, and officers told us our passports would be returned shortly. They drove us to the Political Security Detention Center to do the paperwork. It soon became clear that we were not there to retrieve our passports. I tried to call the U.S. Embassy. A Yemeni political security officer took the phone from my hand and hung up. He told me, "It's forbidden." Around midnight, the first round of interrogation was finished. I tried to be vague and tell them only the names of the people who were openly rebels, the ones who were safe in hiding that had asked me to publish their names. But my tangle of half-truths was all for naught. My notes, computer, camera, and radio equipment were confiscated, and we were detained. We stayed in a hotel, conveniently placed adjacent to a political security detention center, and plain-clothes soldiers were stationed outside our rooms. The guards told me that the hotel generally houses low-security prisoners, like us, and prostitutes. Adam was thrown in a jail cell one night, but I think his dank, hot cell was a joke, meant to amuse the investigators. Adam didn't find it very funny. On the fourth day in custody, our prospects seemed grim as we were transferred to Central Political Security in Sana'a, Yemen's capital. Officers allowed me to take my sunglasses from my purse along the way, but when I tried to snatch a John Grisham novel for entertainment, it was quickly removed from my hands. Our passports were nowhere in sight. But a few hours later, after we were re-questioned and just as we were making friends with the armed guards, two officials from the U.S. Embassy appeared out of the blue, and we were freed. Within an hour, we rumbled through the narrow cobblestone pathways of the old city in an embassy-armored car. They dropped us off in Falehi, a cozy square packed with colorful shops, juice stalls, and potato sandwich vendors, which was near my apartment. Before we got out of the car, embassy officials told us we were banned from Yemen and our pictures would be added to a database at the airport. We were told we would go to prison if we tried to go back. They told us to get out of Yemen as soon as possible, for safety's sake. They said a speedy exit would encourage the government to return our equipment. I may one day get my computer back, but I was told my collection of pictures, poetry, voices, and music of the Southern Movement would probably be wiped away forever. At any rate, I don't have them, which is why you can't hear them now. Heather Murdoch for VOA News, Washington, D.C.